Hello everyone, and welcome to Biopedia. Today, we're going to talk about a family connected to what we talk about on my other podcast, After Alexander. However, this is not because of their historical value, but because of some biologically relevant points we're going to discuss today. The principal character in today's episode is Mithridates VI, King of Pontus. Just as a quick introduction, I couldn't resist giving you some context as to who Mithridates is and why he is relevant to After Alexander. Mithridates is actually biologically related to various Hellenistic monarchs. The main state we focus on is the Seleucid Empire, founded by Seleucus I. At the time of writing, we have started talking about his great-grandson Seleucus II. Mithridates is actually biologically related to these Hellenistic monarchs. To find out how, follow me through a journey of Wikipedia pages. Seleucus II and his aunt wife Laodike II had several children. Their two sons were Seleucus III and Antiochus III, who married his cousin Laodike. These two had four children I'm going to mention by name: Antiochus, Seleucus, Laodike, and Mithridates. Laodike, as Laodike IV, was queen by marriage to all three of her brothers. She gave her first brother, Antiochus the Young King, a daughter called Nyssa. Her second brother, Seleucus IV, was the father of Antiochus, Demetrius I, and Laodike V, the latter two again marrying each other. Mithridates became king as Antiochus IV, and they had two children, Antiochus V and Laodike VI. Laodike VI is the first example of outbreeding we're going to have here, as she married Mithridates V of Pontus. Among their children were Laodike, yes, again, and Mithridates VI of Pontus. As such, Mithridates VI is the great-great-grandson of Seleucus II, who we're currently discussing on After Alexander. All of this is a pretty lengthy introduction to what we're going to be talking about today, but I thought it might be interesting. That said, why are we talking about Mithridates VI of Pontus on our biology podcast? Well, Mithridates ruled Pontus from 120 BC to 63 BC after the death of his father, Mithridates V. Mithridates V was killed by poison at one of his feasts, and he turned his kingdom over to his sons, Mithridates VI and Mithridates Crestus, as well as his spouse Laodike VI. I'm not sure if this had a direct psychological effect, as I can't find anything on it, but young Mithridates VI was always worried he might suffer the same fate. An attempt on his life by these means was made when he was still young. Mithridates would test poisonous substances and their cures on convicts who were sentenced to be killed, and, in one battle close to the Euphrates River during the Third Mithridatic War, he transferred some poison to all his friends to ensure they wouldn't be taken prisoner. Supposedly, the king also killed his child Ariarathes by these means. Notably, Mithridates VI also often ingested such toxic materials. By taking small amounts over a prolonged period, he was able to develop a resistance to arsenic, a fact he would show off at feasts by allowing those present to lace what he ate and drank. Mithridates daily ingested progressively larger amounts of poisonous substances to develop immunity, potentially through changes to his metabolism or enzymes being activated. This practice is known as Mithridatism. Significantly, Mithridates tried to poison himself to death at the end of his life when he was to be taken alive by Pompey the Great. His two daughters asked to take it first and died, but it had no effect on Mithridates himself, even though he tried to make it faster by pacing around. In the end, he simply had to ask one of his men to finish him off. His physician developed a mix of ingredients, although my sources disagree on how many, which worked against different toxins from scorpions, sea slugs, etc. This essentially acted as a general shield against multiple venomous sources such as viper bites. Mithridates' ambition was to have something that would universally cure him, no matter the drug. The substance is called Mithridatum, and was taken to Rome by Roman soldiers when Pompey discovered it within the monarch's documents and made a Latin translation. Wikipedia cites other sources in stating that we don't know what was in the original formula, but that Pliny said the blood of certain ducks which eat deadly substances like hellebore was in there. Incidentally, this idea of a cure-all against poisonous substances is also known as a theriac. This particular theriac ended up in Rome. What now? Well, Andromachus the Elder, physician to the Emperor Nero, added viper meat and increased the amount of opium to the mix, among other ingredients. Galen noted that this worked better than Mithridates' version when one was bitten by vipers, and Andromachus himself claimed it was better. I should say that some sources call this specific mixed theriac rather than the general concept. Anyway, theriac would be in vogue for as long as Galen himself was. Supposedly, Marcus Aurelius took it every day to make sure he stayed healthy and to protect himself from poisoning just as Mithridates had done. It would stay around in some form or another, at least in terms of influence, until the 1800s. It's interesting to think that one scientifically minded monarch, who may also have been the first person to use toxins in war, could have had an influence for centuries and millennia after he died. So, I hope you'll forgive a bit of a transgression into Hellenistic history, but as I'm sure you can now see, Mithridates VI does have relevance in terms of the biological world for hundreds of years after. As always, thank you all for listening. Feel free to get in touch with the show's email address for any questions, comments, or topic suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, have a great week, everyone.